Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 13, which says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And last time we were looking at this idea of the Apostle Paul talking about thanking God and what that actually means. And as we look at this idea of thanking God, we see how Paul talks about this idea of thank we God without ceasing. And when the Apostle Paul says this, he doesn't mean that that's what the only thing that's supposed to be going on in our life, that we're supposed to be walking around and just saying, you know, God, thank you for allowing me to take this next step. God, thank you for allowing me to take this next step. God, thank you for allowing me to take this next step. And just over and over, and that's all we're doing and nothing else going on in our life. Because you see how Paul also uses that same phraseology to talk about prayer. When you go over into chapter number 5 of this same epistle in verse 17, when he says, pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So he uses this phrase, you know, to do something without ceasing, talking about both prayer and thanksgiving. These two issues that as you go through Paul's epistles, you see that over and over again, he keeps bringing these two things up, tying them together to say that this is what's supposed to be going on in the life of a member of the body of Christ. Since this is the case, we need to figure out exactly what it is that the Apostle Paul actually means when he uses this phrase and says, without ceasing, in order for us to be functioning in the way that God intends for us to function. And when we look at this word, we see that the Greek word that this phrase is translated from has a meaning that carries on the fact that a person is to be doing something continually in a manner that it would be part of who they are, that their life would have a functioning to where this is part, just a natural part of who they are. So when we look at these two ideas of, you know, to pray without ceasing and also to be giving thanks without ceasing, God intends for the member of the body of Christ to be doing those two things in a manner to where it would just be naturally a part of who they are, so that way in every situation where it would be natural for those things to occur, then it would actually be happening by that individual. And the members of the body of Christ really should be living their life in a reflection of where prayer and thanksgiving are just naturally part of who we are. And unfortunately, that's not always the case for all people. And they allow things to come up in their life to where they aren't thankful or they're not praying to God, when everything should really be turned over to God. We should be thankful for everything that's going on in our life. You know, and that main thing we talked about briefly last time, that our salvation, the fact that we put our trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how that takes care of the issue of sin for an individual. This is something that we can all be thankful for. So no matter what is going on in our life, we can be able to be thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross at Calvary. So when Paul talks about this fact of us thanking God without ceasing, it has to do with the fact that, you know, there are things that go on that can truly be the case, because, you know, the glory that Paul sees in his life, the only thing that was glorious is what was accomplished on the cross. We see it over in Galatians chapter number 6 when he talks about that he gloried in nothing save the cross in verse number 14 of that chapter, because that's the only thing that truly is glorious in the life of an individual. And the Apostle Paul is going to build off of that in our text here when he says in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he says, because when he received the word of God, which ye heard of us, that the word of God is why these individuals can be, you know, were being thanked with God, you know, as Paul's talking about it, because he's looking at the example of what was going on with them, that they received the word of God, which they had heard from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Now, when we look at that idea of the word of God, we see why the word is actually so important in the eyes of God. Let's go over to the book of Psalms. We're going to Psalm 138 here to see what it is that what the word of God is actually going to say about itself. And Psalm 138 is actually going to lay out an important aspect of something here related to the word of God. And in Psalm 138, we'll read here starting at verse number 1. It says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And so we see how David, who wrote this psalm, is talking about that God has magnified his word to a level where it's even above his name. So there's a very big importance related to the word of God. And we're going to see how the word actually talks about the functionality that it has. So, for example, we go over to Romans chapter number 10, and we're going to see here something that the Apostle Paul says related to the word of God. And here in Romans chapter number 10, we're going to read here verse number 17, which says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is why you hear so many times when we talk about the idea that the word of God is what produces faith in the life of an individual. Because the Apostle Paul records that here, that faith produces hearing, and that faith is produced by hearing, and that hearing has come by the word of God. So the word of God is what actually is producing that faith in the life of the individual. And we know from the book of Hebrews, where it talks about the fact that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So an individual has to have faith in order to be pleasing unto God. And the only way that a person can have that faith is to hear the word of God and be applying it to their life, and it's going to produce faith in them. We also see the book of Hebrews defines something else about the word. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter number 4. And we'll see what the author of the book of Hebrews says here in Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to read here verse number 12, which says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we see how the Word of God can actually pierce to the point of where it can separate out the soul and the spirit, the two parts of an individual that make up the inner man, can actually be separated by the Word of God. The Word of God can point out the thoughts and intents of the heart of an individual. You see how in the book of Matthew it talks about, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That what's inside of the person is what's going to come out as they speak. And for anybody who has put their trust in what the Word of God says, anybody who has actually allowed it to produce faith in their life, it's going to be the Word of God which is going to be coming out of them. It's going to be the Word of God which their life has become focused around. And that's what God truly does intend for an individual. And it doesn't matter, what dispensation we are talking about, the Word of God has a very big importance, and God intends for individuals to have a complete understanding of what His Word is, because that's the instructions for an individual in their life. When we go back, for example, let's go to Genesis chapter number 3. And we're going to see the first failure of man, and we're going to see how this failure actually revolves around how it is that the Word of God is actually handled. Because the question is going to come from the serpent when we look here, starting in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3, when it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." So we see that the serpent actually starts this whole conversation with the idea of questioning, what is it that God has actually said? Yea, hath God said. Now, we know that what God had said back in chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, when it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So this was the instructions that had been given unto man. The serpent questions those instructions by saying, "Yea, hath God said?" And now we're going to see how it is that the woman actually handles this and what her response to this question is. Here in chapter number 3, let's start in verse number 2. It says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." So we see how, her handling of this, she removes the word freely, because the instruction is, "Ye may freely eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Now, that's error one. Error two is when she looks at it and says, "But if the fruit of the tree is in the midst of the garden." Now, there was very specific instructions of which tree that it was, because there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was very specific because there's also another tree which is in the midst of the garden, which was the tree of life. And she just puts it as, well, the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. So, she's not even specific on which tree it was. And then she waters down the issue of the death which was the word surely to the lest ye die, and also it added in this command of touching it, which was something that God had never said. So there's four different errors that she makes related to what it is that God had said. And the moment that the serpent hears that she does not have the understanding of the thing, you see how he can respond here. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the moment the serpent sees, you know, she doesn't understand the word that she's, you know, mishandling it, she's giving out this complete error of what's going on, the serpent just says, well, you know, this is what's going to happen. You know, changes it completely around because she doesn't have the faith. And as an end result, she walks away from what God had instructed for her to do. We know that the serpent, that's Satan, Satan has an understanding of the word of God. The Apostle Paul talks about how Satan functions, and Satan functions in a manner of being a minister of righteousness, having an appearance of being right, and yet leading someone astray by their subtlety related to the Word of God. That's why it's so important for individuals to be studying things out on their own. You know, nobody should take anybody's word for what it is that the Bible says. They should actually be studying it out for themselves to make sure that they have an understanding of what the Word of God says. In fact, we see as we go over to the book of Joshua, we'll go to Joshua chapter number 1, and we'll see how this was something that had been instructed to the nation of Israel here. And in Joshua chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse number 8, and it says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And when we look at Israel's program and how it was a performance-based system, in order for Israel to be performing properly, they had to have a complete understanding of all 600 plus parts of the law to be able to say that, yes, I can do all of these things and then I could be prosperous and have this good success. And the only way that this was going to occur was that the individual was going to meditate therein day and night, that they were going to be able to study this out, have an understanding, so that way it would take root in them, and then they could live the life that God intended for them to live. We see how Paul talks about for us in a similar manner that we are to be studying the Word of God. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we'll see an instruction here that Paul's going to give related to the Word of God. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's a clear instruction here that we're to be studying, and studying in a manner that he's identifying that it's going to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It's going to be work in order to study the Word of God. It's not going to be something that I can just sit down and look at for a few minutes and just kind of review some old notes I have and go, yep, I understand that perfectly. An individual is supposed to be studying things out, working at it, and then he gives it instruction on how it is that we're to clearly be studying the Word of God when it says rightly dividing the Word of truth. That we're to have that understanding that there are things that, you know, are not written directly to us, they're written directly to the nation of Israel. And those things, you know, whether they're things time past or the things that are in the ages to come, the future events that occur after the catching out of the saints, no matter if it's in one of those things, that we have that understanding that that's not written directly to us. That's not doctrine that we should be trying to apply to ourselves today. Now, we do have an understanding if we just turn one chapter over here, the chapter number 3, and look at something Paul says here in verses 16 and 17 related to the Word of God, when it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So, even though all Scripture is not written directly to us, the issue is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, as it says, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, if it's written here, anything from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through to the end of the book of Revelation, that's identified as Scripture. It's given by inspiration of God. And there's a profit that comes from it related to doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, we take that understanding of, you know, all Scripture has a benefit to us. We use the issue of right division, which Paul had laid out, which he lays out before he even says this. So something that the believer who's reading this epistle would say, okay, I already understand that I'm supposed to rightly divide things related to the Word of truth. And, okay, I have, you know, this is what the Word of truth is. So now I understand exactly how I'm supposed to do things, that, you know, yes, I can get profit from these things, but it's not going to be profitable in the manner that would be profitable for the people it's written directly to. Now, when we look at this, and again, all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for these things. So the book of Genesis is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The book of Psalms is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. The book of Matthew is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. The book of Romans is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The book of James is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Every single book that's in the Bible is profitable for all of those things. With the perfect, that, you know, the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Would have an understanding of exactly what it is that God intends for us by understanding what it is that the Word of God actually says. Our responsibility is to be able to go out and study these things so that way we can properly apply them to our lives. And if we're doing that and that we're continually functioning in a manner to where we're studying the Word of God, we're using the principles of right division to understand things, we will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We won't be confused when somebody comes and says that, you know, something applies to us when it clearly doesn't, because we'll have the answer that comes from Scripture to say, well, this is, you know, you're saying this. However, this verse and this verse and this verse and this verse are clearly contradicting exactly what it is that's being said. And these individuals here is that they, you know, what we're talking about the assembly in Thessalonica is that they were clearly taking what Paul was teaching and understanding that yes, this is the Word of God. Yes, this is the things that are supposed to be clearly applied to my life, so that way I can be functioning in the manner that God wants me to function. You know, this is something that so many people really struggle with because they try to not apply Paul to their life. They try to apply other passages. They try to say, I should be following the things of the Gospels. And Paul holds these members of the Thessalonian church up and says, this is why I am thankful for you, because you are truly functioning in the manner that God intends for you to be doing so. And we're going to continue looking at some things related to the Word of God in our next episode as we continue looking at 1 Thessalonians. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook as they're occurring. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And this week we'll be continuing our study going through the book of, you know, 1 Peter, looking at how what Peter is saying to the nation of Israel and contrasting that with some of the things that the Apostle Paul, you know, says to us in his epistles. And always remember, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in you read on our website, anything you hear in our messages, anything you hear in any of these broadcasts, you know, feel free to contact us. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.